KEXP thanks contributing donors and the Real Networks Foundation for supporting Mind Over Matters.
This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and online at kexp.org. My guests this morning are Ethan and Sarita Schaefer, co-founders and co-directors of GrowFood.org, a nonprofit dedicated to recruiting, training, and capitalizing the next generation of sustainable farmers. Ethan received a Brower Youth Award for co-founding GrowFood.org, has worked in nonprofit finance and management, and holds an MBA degree from the Bainbridge Graduate Institute. Sarita is a regional director of WSU's Latino Farming Program, and as a Fulbright Fellow in Paraguay, helped launch the world's first financially self-sufficient organic farming business school. Ethan and Sarita are here today to tell us about their efforts to help grow a community of new, small-scale organic farmers. Welcome to you both.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
What led you to found GrowFood.org?
Well, I think we were both kind of inspired to start GrowFood from my personal experience with cancer. I was 14, 15 years old. I was diagnosed with lymphoma and went through 5 months of pretty intensive chemotherapy, which later Sarita and I had met and kind of explained that story. And we went and traveled to work on organic farms, seeking out more healthy living environments and seeing if there was something we could do to help reduce the toxicity in the world. That took us to New Zealand, where we worked on farms for 7 months, all sorts of different organic farms. And just that experience was so enlivening and inspiring for us that we were inspired then to come back to the United States and create something very similar to allow people to go work on farms and experience what it's like to be and live on an organic farm.
What is the mission of GrowFood.org?
GrowFood's mission is really to train a new generation of farmers and to reconnect people with their food. It's an online social network at growfood.org, and people can find literally thousands of farms that they can work on all throughout the world. We're in 44 countries, about 2,000 farms. And partly the reason we're doing it is because we need a new generation of farmers. But then the other reason some people like to do it just to find out where does their food come from and experience what is it like to grow food. And that's really kind of our mission in a nutshell.
Who is involved in growfood.org?
We're a small team. It's myself, Ethan. Ethan's brother Grayson helped develop a lot of the original site and continues to be heavily involved. We have a full-time web developer at this point and a search engine optimization expert. And then a cluster of volunteers that come and go depending on what our needs are as they change.
How would you characterize the current interest in farming as a career?
Well, I think it's increasing dramatically. There's certainly a trend right now of aging farmers. The average age of the farmer in Washington State is about 57 years old. And we found that to be true when we surveyed our members, that a large segment of our farmers are kind of in the 50-plus category. But then there's a huge population in our membership of young farmers, of farmers kind of in the 20 to 30 range. So we're seeing that there's this kind of spike in interest all of a sudden that really didn't exist in that period of people that are between their 30s and 40s. So something's going on, and there's clearly a movement here.
What seems to be behind this interest in farming? What is your sense of that?
What we've heard from the folks who participate in our program and from a lot of the people that I'm meeting as I work with WSU and their beginner farmer training is a really intense interest in doing something, finding a career that's meaningful for oneself, meaningful for the community, that really benefits society and the environment, and it's about creating a really healthy lifestyle that has an impact beyond one's own just sort of nuclear experience.
Would you comment on the need to recruit and train farmers in Washington State? Obviously, if the average age is 57, a new generation is needed, but could you say more about that?
Yeah, well, that's the stat really that kind of shows that, you know, there's this problem. I mean, that a lot of farmers are retiring. I think the other stat is there's about 50% of the land in Washington State will change hands in the next 20 years. So that there's going to be this huge shift of ownership of land and the farming, but who's going to take on that land? Who's going to carry on our agricultural tradition in this state? So that's really what we're about. We're trying to train this new generation of farmers to come in and take over the land that's transitioning.
I would only add to that we're also seeing a dwindling number of children of farmers who are really interested in going back into agriculture.
Would you like to go into a bit more detail about how GrowFood.org is set up in terms of how you bring people together?
Well, we're set up online. It's really kind of like a social network. Anybody can go set up a membership. You create your own profile, add in information about who you are, what your interests are, much like all the other social networks that are popular today, like Facebook. And then the farms do the same thing. They have their profiles, and you can search for them through our database. It's very searchable. There's so much information there. We just try to make it very easy for you to narrow down and find the type of experience that you're looking for. And that's more or less how it works.
So, you know, to give an example, if you said, you know, I'm living in the Seattle area, I'd like to find a farm that's within 45 minutes of where I live, you can either click on the map and really zoom in on Seattle, and you'd be able to see the farms that are in the closest proximity and contact them directly. Or if you know, you know, exactly what type of agriculture you're trying to get into, say biodynamic or small-scale dairy, you can search for those keywords and then also include, you know, narrow your search to a geographical location.
Are most of the people that use the site that aren't the farmers themselves, are they primarily people who are interested in becoming farmers, or do they have other interests as well?
When we surveyed our membership about a year ago, we found that a surprisingly large number of the people using the program were interested in pursuing professional careers in agriculture, that it was upwards of two-thirds of the members were looking to become farmers and start their own small farm businesses.
But then there's still that segment of people that they're not necessarily interested in a career path in farming, but maybe they're in college and they want to take a summer break and do something meaningful and something completely different. We'll meet people. We met somebody from Harvard who is studying like neuroscience or something like that, and he just wanted to completely get out and do something different. He went to Idaho and worked on a farm for a summer, and he described it as, you know, one of the best experiences of his life. It really helped transform the way he thought about his food.
We're also seeing it as a growing trend for a different style of vacation from people who already work in the sort of social and environmental field, that when they go on vacation, you know, they want to go and relax somewhere, but they also want to be doing something useful with their time and learning something interesting. So, you know, folks from nonprofit organizations, so when we meet them, it's like, oh, yeah, I used your website to find places to travel around when I was in Mexico because I'd rather stay on farms and hotels, you know, and really meet the people that are doing something important in that region.
So who are the new farmers, the people that are looking for a career in farming?
They're a pretty diverse bunch. You can kind of break them down into a couple categories. You have your new and, I would say, the beginning farmers that are coming from farm backgrounds, which, like I said, are fewer and farther between. Then you have young farmers that are coming from non-farming backgrounds, who are often coming in from a sort of sociological interest in it or environmental and scientific interest in farming. Then you have immigrant farmers has become an incredibly significant sector of new farmers in the United States. I would say predominantly from Latin America, particularly in the Northwest, but more of the Somali Bantu, all sorts of different groups. The Hmong are huge in Washington State, so the whole immigrant group is really important. And then the last are a lot of folks who I would describe as kind of second career farmers, who have maybe been in another profession but are in their late 40s or 50s, often have had a small piece of land that they've been holding on to and are finding that, you know, farming, small farming in particular, is a lifestyle that's attractive to them for earning a partial income to sustain them in the later years while remaining engaged in the community in a really positive way.
How many of the people are interested in sustainable farming, of the new farmers or new potential farmers?
I don't know that anyone has studied down to an exact percentage, but what we see at WSU is definitely more than half. I would venture to say that it might even be in around, you know, three-fourths of the population that's coming in are really interested in doing farming a little bit differently than it's been done in the past 30 years.
In the agricultural schools, the programs that are focused on organic farming or sustainable farming are completely oversubscribed. This is just kind of what we hear anecdotally, and that the traditional ag programs are dwindling. It's hard to keep the enrollment full. So it seems like the new energy is definitely coming in and wanting to learn about sustainable agriculture.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guests are Ethan and Sarita Schaefer, co-founders and co-directors of GrowFood.org, a nonprofit dedicated to recruiting, training, and capitalizing the next generation of sustainable farmers. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. What are some examples in Washington State of where you can do internships on farms?
We have a number of farms, I think close to 100 in Washington State, where you can go work on farms anywhere from just a day or two, even just for an afternoon to experience it, to full season internships. You know, Sarita and I, actually, we got some of our deepest farm experience when we were just getting into this at a farm up on Orcas Island. It's the Bullock Brothers Permaculture Homestead, and they have an internship program there. Every year they have 8 to 10 new interns who come in, and they're really teaching a totally different concept of agriculture. They're less focused on real commercial sales, but really focused on education and teaching a holistic system of sustainability. So we learned about renewable energy and different natural building techniques and how to design and lay out farms in a way that reduces the amount of pesticide and chemicals and things that you'd ever have to use. And they teach workshops and things on their whole technique and practice. So we spent a whole summer there working, and that's one place that people can go. Then there's others, I think, just here in the Puget Sound, there's a great farm we've gotten to know called Persephone Farm. And Persephone Farm, they take about 4 interns every year and really are focused on training people to be market gardeners, to go sell at farmers markets and CSA programs and things like that. And she's been very effective in training new farmers. She's told us stories of a number of her interns have gone on to actually start their own farms. So that's a pretty inspiring place. And that's over in Indianola, Washington, near Bainbridge.
And there's 2 more that come to mind immediately. Our Full Circle Farm has participated in our internship program essentially since the very beginning of Grow Food. They're one of our first Washington hosts, and I know that a number of their interns have gone on to start their own small farms. And Garden Treasures in Arlington, Washington is another one of my favorites. Patricia, Laura, and Mark Lovejoy are very involved in teaching what they know through our WSU programs. They've been a great help there, and they just have an immensely successful farm stand that they supply all of the vegetables for from their farm, but also have a nursery business that complements their produce sales. So I think that depending on what kind of agriculture you're looking to get involved in and at what side of it you want to learn, there's just a tremendous variety in Washington State to learn from.
Could you say a bit more, go into a bit more detail about the types of crops that are grown on the different farms that are available for internships? You've mentioned vegetables.
For farms growing for farmers market, I think the traditional crop is kind of a mixed vegetable. But most of these farms are highly diverse, so they're growing a lot of different crops, a little bit of everything. It's very different than what we see at kind of the large scale, more industrial agriculture, where you have sort of your one crop or maybe 4 crops would be considered highly diverse at that level. So, any vegetable variety you can imagine. We also see small livestock. There's a lot of goat dairies, some cow dairies as well, chickens, goats, pigs. So it's pretty diverse. There are also a few farms that do grains and some legumes and beans. It's pretty exciting to see that being done sustainably as well.
What is it like to intern on one of the farms? What are some of the activities that people might expect if they were to become an intern?
The nice thing about an internship, it's really an opportunity to do all the tasks of a farm without taking on the risk of actually owning your own farm. So it gets you a little bit of an experience, just to experience it and try it out. So you're really doing everything, all of the cultivation and planting, weeding, harvesting. You also usually get involved in going to market. Sometimes you get to work the market stand and interact with people. We've heard a lot of interns love that aspect of it. But for me, I think back what it meant for me. Like when I was working on the Bullock Brothers farm, I remember these times I'd be, hauling like a load of manure around in a wheelbarrow or something, and I'd just be, up since 6 a.m. in the morning and working all day. But thought about it, and I felt about as happy as I'd ever felt. I was just completely satisfied. And I'm just hauling around manure and tilling garden beds and things. And by the time, I get down to the evening and I'm ready to go to bed, as soon as my head hits the pillow, I'm asleep. And there's something just incredibly satisfying about that type of a hard day's labor on a farm. It feels like you've really done something meaningful. So, there's all the individual tasks and things you get to do, but I think that's really the joy, going to bed feeling satisfied like you've really done something.
It's kind of the ultimate learning experience, just because agriculture spans across so many disciplines of study. I mean, there's the ecology, the biology. If you're, working with livestock, you have all the animal sciences. Then on top of that, you have, the cultural dimensions of growing food and selling food. There's the political aspect of it and all the policy. There's the nutritional side if you want to really get into the food and its value. And obviously the business side is a huge dimension. So whichever direction you take farming, there's an endless amount of learning that can take place.
What has been the motivation of the farmers who accept interns onto their farms?
Well, I think for some of the farmers, I think they really enjoy connecting with a new generation. It's an opportunity for them to pass on their knowledge and wisdom and these skills that they've learned that really have been, farming has been passed on in this apprenticeship tradition really since agriculture began. It only recently actually entered into academia. So I think that's the biggest motivation for people. But, just getting good labor is also incredibly important. Hard workers who want to come and get things done.
We hear more and more, I guess probably because of the increasing age of farmers, that I know that I've heard a lot of people saying that they're really starting to use the internships to identify a successor if they don't have children who are interested. We're seeing that more and more.
Would you like now to speak about the Viva Farms incubator program, which you started in 2009?
Yeah, absolutely. Viva Farms is the first land-based program that Grow Food has been directly involved in starting. Up till now, it's really been matching farms with prospective farmers and food explorers. But Viva Farms is really, we found that over the years, some feedback that we heard from our members was that you would go through the internship process, you know, maybe work on 5 or 6 farms or even 10 or 20 farms, spend several years doing that. And then there was this kind of gap between that and really going into full-scale ownership and jumping into having your own farm, buying land or, you know, leasing land long-term. So Viva Farms is really meant to provide a bridge between the internship and farm work and farm ownership. And particularly we focus on, I would say, it's that transition from farm worker to farm manager and owner. And because of just the importance and the incredible skill and talent of the Latino farming community here in Viva Farms is really equally focused on both beginning farmers and the immigrant farmers. So what we provide is an opportunity for folks to launch their own businesses in a low-risk environment. So we provide 2 really intensive courses in partnership with WSU, that's the Cultivating Success Program. And once people finish the Sustainable Small Farming course and a Farm Business Planning course, they have an opportunity to lease land at our Viva Farms incubator, which is located in Skagit County. And what comes with that lease is, you know, shared access to greenhouse infrastructure. They have a sort of washing and packing facility. Irrigation is all set up for them, so it's something that you don't have to worry about the first year when you really need to be focusing on your crop planning and production skills. But then they also have, you know, a lot of technical assistance around both the growing crops, the crops and livestock, and the business development, making sure that they're setting up from the outset really good bookkeeping practices to ensure that they know and, you know, can do an effective evaluation at the end of each season of what worked, what didn't, why it worked, why it didn't, what changes they might want to make in the following year. And then another important role that the incubator plays is really providing an opportunity to introduce farms after they're, you know, have maybe gone through a couple years of incubation to landowners who are looking to find people to manage or own their land.
Well, I realize the program is fairly new, but how has it worked out so far for people that have gone through it?
It's been excellent. It's been really exciting to see how fast we've launched it. We have 6 participating businesses this year, which are 8 individuals. And there's a set of brothers and a husband and wife that are doing businesses together. And I was just out there yesterday, and we've got broccoli coming up that's about 1 foot high already. Corn is coming up. Beans are coming up. One of the businesses just started selling fresh tortillas to complement their produce sales at the Mount Vernon Farmers Market. And it's a great learning experience. They're able to work with one another and share a lot of their own equipment out there if there's something that they could purchase it, but then they'd use it once a month. So they're able to kind of gather together and say, okay, here are our high priority purchases. Let's work together and just share this. So yeah, it's really exciting. It's going really well. Crops are going up, and we've actually been able to sell more than we can grow at this point because people are so excited about supporting the program.
You are listening to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guests are Ethan and Sarita Schaefer, co-founders and co-directors of growfood.org, a nonprofit dedicated to recruiting, training, and capitalizing the next generation of sustainable farmers. You've alluded a bit to this, but what are the key challenges for new farmers in Washington State?
They come down to 4 pretty simple categories, I would say. The first is access to hands-on and practical training, and good classroom training. There is a need for that as well, but mostly the practical is what's lacking in some of the ag programs, though that's changing. Access to farmland and infrastructure, particularly affordable farmland infrastructure and equipment, access to markets, and access to capital to really finance their businesses as they grow.
Would you expand on the issue of land being available for new farmers?
My expertise would mostly be in Skagit County. It's highly competitive to try to get into the land, and it's part of it is the actual, you know, availability of acres, but then another part of it is how land changes hands in the community. And there's a really tight-knit community of farmers who have been working there sometimes up to 4 generations, and you're not going to see ads in the classifieds for land for sale unless it's highly marginal land. So a lot of it is, you know, the struggle is more getting into the network and building relationships of trust with the people who control the transfer of land in the area.
Does that tend to be true in other parts of the state as well?
I think it's probably pretty similar, I would say, even across the United States.
There's certainly a lot of pressure in the Skagit Valley and then elsewhere of development pressure that sometimes the land is worth a lot more if there are houses put on it. Certainly in Skagit, there are a lot more regulations now that try to reduce the amount of houses you can put on, amount of development. But that obviously increases the price of the land overall. So then if you want to farm on that piece of land, it can be quite a lot more expensive and maybe it doesn't work out economically to farm. So finding land that is both really good farmland and affordable, so it works out economically. That's kind of the big challenge.
Overall, how good are the agricultural resources in Washington State for someone who wants to farm?
It depends a lot on where you're living, but if you're in a lot of the western counties, WSU Extension does a tremendous job. Obviously, I'm biased because I work there, but I know the passion and the amount of resources that are available in those counties, just with the courses and workshops and opportunities to do farm tours and really connect with other farmers. So I would say anywhere where you have an extension office, there's a really good chance that you have some great resources. In the counties that are in more remote areas, I think it's challenging. And in that case, you really are going to rely on the veteran farmers that have been farming there forever. And that's why, you know, organizations like Grow Food are really important, where if there's not a university infrastructure, we have that social infrastructure of just connecting the community members with one another.
Would you like to speak about your work with the slow food movement, or rather the slow money movement?
Well, the slow money movement is sort of an outgrowth of the slow food movement, and Grow Food's gotten involved with the Northwest chapter, and it's dealing specifically with that issue that we were talking about of capitalizing new farmers. So a lot of people who are very interested in slow food and in supporting good, healthy food and a new food system, were interested in, are there ways that we can invest in a healthy local food system? So there's a fellow by the name of Woody Tash who wrote a book called Slow Money. And he's been pushing this national movement to get people to invest their money locally in agriculture and try to, as he says, bring money back down to the earth. And it is kind of a response to some degree to the financial collapse and seeing that there's all these fake instruments that we've been investing in. And we convince ourselves that, you know, these are good investments and we're going to make money. And we saw that all collapse. So now people are looking for, well, are there ways that we can invest in stuff that's real? And what's more real than the soil and food and farms? So Grow Food, what we're doing, we're helping kind of house the Northwest chapter and incubate it and get it going. So we're working with a team of people here. A fellow by the name of Tim Crosby is the Northwest director of Slow Money Northwest. And we're looking at trying to set up a loan fund and different mechanisms to invest directly in farmers. And we're particularly interested in sort of these new farmers and helping get farmers started. But we're also looking at kind of farm expansion and helping people acquire more land and things like that.
In addition to the efforts of growfood.org, what other efforts are going on in Washington State to help new farmers?
On the academic side and extension side, we've got WSU. There are a number of really good nonprofits in the state. There's the Cascade Harvest Coalition. They're an advocacy group based here in Seattle that advocates for small farms and organic farms. And they run a program called FarmLink. It connects retiring farmers who want to pass their land on to new farmers, and they help find the new farmers and make those matches. And there's FarmLink programs in many other states as well. Then there are other organizations like Washington Tilth Producers. They provide a lot of support for farmers in different ways. They host a conference every year. It's a great way to bring the whole community together.
Yeah, the Sustainable Food and Farming Network has been incredibly important on the policy side, in particular of passing the healthy
Local Farms, Healthy Kids.
Local Farms, Healthy Kids. Thank you. I always get it mixed up. But yeah, just tremendous push in the policy side of things. And then organizations like Growing Washington are another, I would say, a sister organization at this point that are doing really important work training new farms and kind of incubating new farm businesses and particularly creating distribution systems that beginning farmers can plug into immediately.
What changes in public policy could help new farmers?
Well, there's a lot of policy that could change, really. I mean, there's so many different things. This bill in Washington, at least just looking at this state, the Local Farms Healthy Kids Act was very important in helping schools have the ability to source food from local farms. So policies like that are very important, kind of just creating new markets as well as encouraging healthy foods for our kids, which seems obvious, but sometimes a little bit harder in the policy world. But policy is really what makes a lot of this happen, particularly at the federal level. We can decide and choose which way do we want to direct the food system. Do we want it to be dominated by a few large corporations that, you know, own most of the land and own the seed stock and the agrochemical companies and things like that? And we can create subsidy systems and things that encourage that. Or we can create policy that encourages more local agriculture, sustainable agriculture, that rewards farmers for using fewer pesticides. And there are all sorts of different policies that we can do that encourage that type of food system. And, you know, in our opinion, that would really be better both for the farmers and for consumers and everybody. But it's really a matter of political will. Are we willing to get it done?
Where does growfood.org plan to focus its efforts over the next few years?
You know, we really want to see this become not just a kind of niche movement. We want to see this become a real mainstream movement. I mean, we would love to see a world and certainly a country where everybody's at least gone and spent a day on a farm and they know where their food comes from. Maybe we'll have a National Farm Day or something. Get everybody out and work on a farm for a day and see where your food comes from. Connect with the soil. So that's where we'd like to see it go. And, you know, at that same time, while we're just getting people connected, we'd love to inspire this new generation and see if we can get not just thousands of new farmers, but maybe we can move into the millions. Some people estimate that if we really want to transform our food system and get it off of kind of the oil and chemical dependency that it's on right now, that we need upwards of 50 million new farmers because it's a new type of agriculture. It takes more labor and more people involved. We want to start pushing into that realm and really make this go mainstream.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Well, I'd love to just encourage people to take some time to build a relationship with the local farm and get your hands dirty, get your hands back in the soil. Whether you want to do it as a career, and if you're pondering that, I mean, go try it out, see what you think. But if not for a career, just go out for a day and find a farm where you can work on, maybe even in trade for some vegetables, and see where your food comes from. It's totally inspiring. It'll change your life.
Yeah, I would just reiterate that farming is a transformative experience, whether you're doing it for a day or for a lifetime. It's about really reconnecting with the place that you're from, with the earth itself, and, you know, with the people that are around you, because eating is something that we all take part in three times a day. It's a place where we can always reconnect.
Well, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
You have just been listening to Ethan and Sarita Schaefer, co-founders and co-directors of growfood.org. For more information, check on the web at www.growfood.org and also vivafarms.org. Again, that's growfood.org and vivafarms.org. The sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters program you have just heard will be on the streaming archive section of KEXP's website at kexp.org for the next 14 days. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on 90.3 FM and kexp.org.